Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
You know what I've discovered? That so often in life, if you're not careful, life can become a treadmill. I believe a lot of life can become a lot like walking or running or jogging on a treadmill. You move. Life is a movement. Life is one thing to the next thing. Life is one season to the next season. Life is one thing to the next thing. Life is one relationship to the next relationship. And you tend to just keep moving in life. And you sometimes wonder, I'm moving, but am I going anywhere? Sometimes life is just a constant set of spinning and spinning and spinning. And it seems to be very repetitive. And I think a lot of life, if we're not careful, can turn into that. We begin to see our life like that moving, that spinning. And even though it's spinning, I'm not feeling significance. See, really what happens is many times in life, you begin to look at your life at a certain age or a certain window or a certain moment in your life, and you start beginning to feel maybe that I'm stuck on a treadmill. I'm stuck in this season. I'm stuck in this moment. I'm stuck in a place in my life. And life becomes this constant echo of the monotony. It's just the same thing. You start seeing your life like that. And because of the way we're wired, a lot of times there's something on the inside of us that is a big indicator that maybe it's not supposed to be this way, but I guess this is all there is. And I'll just have to navigate, or I'll just have to come up with something, or maybe there's something else that happens. And so you keep achieving, you keep earning, you keep getting more. But the problem is you still feel empty. There's a new earning, there's a new toy, there's a new moment, but yet on the inside, you wake up, you go to bed, it's the same thing. You wake up, you go to bed, sunrise, sunset, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, row, row, row your boat. And life is just this constant thing of rowing and rowing and moving to something else that you think would make you happier, moving to another moment where you think you're happy. And so that's kind of what happens. And I think what goes on is you start out walking. You're just walking in life. And you think, okay, if I can get to another place, if I can get to another position, I know there's more. If I can get maybe to another salary, hey, maybe if I can get another date, if I can get maybe another, if I can save more, if I can get to another house or another car, or some type of, you know, a boat or a toy or another shopping moment. If I can just get to something else, I'm going to walk to, and I know as I walk this out, then I'm going to feel like I've arrived. But what happens is as you walk, you realize that thing, that event, that moment, that place, that salary, that raise, that new position, what happens is you realize that it did not really make your life better. I'm talking about on the inside, which really matters. And that emptiness is still there. So if walking's not going to do it, what happens is then you think, well, I'll just jog after some more things then. I'll just get to jogging then. I'll just see if a good jog towards some more stuff can really make some things happen. I love controlling that for someone else. And so you begin to jog towards more stuff. If I can get more stuff, that's got to be able to make me feel important. That's got to make me feel like maybe I've arrived. Or it's got to make, if I can just get something else, if I can just pick up the speed to get something else in my life, then I know that I'll have a better life. I know that I'll find some purpose. What happens is we keep jogging and jogging after more stuff, and our life doesn't get better. And so then we pick up the pace. Then next thing you know, then it becomes a run. Now the chase is on, man. We're chasing after some things now because we've got to pick up the speed. The other people are getting things I don't have, and other people are wearing things I'm not wearing, and Other people are going out to places I'm not going, and other people have achieved some things, and I've got to obviously pick up the pace to chase after something else. If I could just keep the chase on, if I could chase after another person, if I could chase after another, you know, luxurious thing, if I could chase after another, you know, another title in life, then, well, I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, everybody that I'm trying to impress, they're going to be impressed. We have this chase to impress and this chase to find approval. Then we realize, you know what? I haven't found what I'm looking for. This is not a better life. Matter of fact, I'm still empty. And what happens then, if we're not careful, is we begin to run ourselves to death. We run and we run and we run. And we run and we run and we run and we run. And what's sad is the treadmill really becomes a status symbol in life. And we start liking kind of the treadmill. Well, I tell you what, I found my identity, found my peace. You know what happens is we're living our life for people that don't even matter. We're trying to fill up our life with things that don't even matter. And this is what goes on in life. This is a reflection of our life. I'm taking my time because I want you to see this reflection of life. So much energy, so much ego. And you know what happens? You're going nowhere. So what's interesting about this is you're still at the same place you started. You may run 5 miles in the morning at your home on a treadmill, but guess what? You didn't leave the home. You went 5 miles, but the scenery didn't change. I mean, Jamie's running a lot this morning, but guess what? She didn't go anywhere. That's what happens in life. See, the truth is chasing happiness. It's like trying to reach out to the horizon. It recedes the closer you get to it. It keeps moving. I love what C.P. Snow said about this. The pursuit of happiness is the most ridiculous phrase. If you pursue happiness, you will never find it. Because right when you think you got it, it steps away from you. And you keep pursuing happiness. I got to get happy. I got to get happy. Today, I want to share a scripture and answer the question for a few minutes on where does a better life begin? Where does a better life begin? If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. These are the writings of Solomon. And why don't we clap our hands for Jamie as she goes and recovers, which would take me several weeks to recover. Just watching her, I feel like I need like an after-workout Gatorade right now. Just feel a little winded. Legs are a little shaky. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes some heavy stuff about the idea of sunrise, sunset. Solomon is one of the smartest men to ever live. He asked God. God said, I'll do anything you want me to do. You know what Solomon asked for? He asked for discernment and wisdom. He wanted to understand how it all worked. And so God said, then I'm going to let you see everything under the sun. So Solomon lived out his life understanding everything under the sun. And he went on this chase, this run for more and more and more and more. And there were more relationships, and there were more things, and there were more moments, and there were more accomplishments, more, 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 more. And so he writes about this run, this jog for more. It's very interesting what he writes. So Ecclesiastes is where he begins to say, okay, I'm getting towards the end of my life, and let me give you the summation. I'm the richest man alive. I have like, goodness gracious, like 1,000 women in my life. Everyone bows down. I'm in charge. I mean, it is all that. Let me tell you what I take. Let me tell you my takeaway from it all. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says, the words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Here's what he said. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does a man gain from all his labor? at which he toils under the sun. Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south, turns toward the north. Round, round it goes, ever returning on its course. All the streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. You see this pattern of what he's saying. Is everything of which one can say, look, this is something new. I finally found something new. It was here already long ago. It was here before our time, and there is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. He says, you know what? In truth, life is pointless. If you're just living life under the sun, if you're just living life for what you see, then it's pointless. After everything he obtained, after everything he knew, all the knowledge that he had, he just said it's meaningless. All this just getting and getting and getting and going, and sunrise and sunset, and row, row, row your boat, and jogging and running and chasing. It's meaningless. And that's what he's saying under the sun. What's amazing is God interrupts him towards the end of this book and lets him know that he was not just created to live life under the sun, S-U-N, but there is life in the sun, S-O-N, that changes everything. That's where you find purpose. That's where you find meaning. And it says this in Ecclesiastes, some of the final words of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard. This is the conclusion of the matter. He says, after everything I've seen, here's how we're going to wrap this up. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. He says the best way to live life under the sun, S-U-N, is to live life underneath the sun, S-O-N. The best way to live your life on this earth and under the earth and in this natural moments is to live your life devoted to the Son of God, to the Word of God, to the plan of God. See, a better life begins at a starting line of surrendering our life to the purposes of Jesus Christ. If not, then we are on a repetitive ride that will keep echoing the monotony of one thing after another, sunrise, sunset. I don't believe that's God's plan for anybody here. I don't care what age you're at, where you're at in your life. That is not God's plan for the same things to just keep repeating one generation, after another moment, after another moment. So I thought about this. I want to give you something that hopefully can bless your life. And I want to give it in the way of a challenge. I want to give you three personal challenges that I believe can encourage your life and help you and I find out, where does a better life start? Where does God's best life, where does God's plan start? How do I get myself out of this repetitive ride? And how do I move beyond the echo of the monotony of life and this and that? And how do I make sure that I'm not just another rat in the rat race? And how do I find the purposes of God? I want to give them to you in the form of three challenges. And here's the first one. I challenge you to get off the treadmill and to get on the track. To get off that treadmill. When Jamie was running, that treadmill of just running another job, another moment, another date, another place in my life, another thing in my life, another purchase in my life, another raise in my life. To get off the treadmill and to move and get on the track of God, because life was not meant to be a treadmill. Even though it may be turning out that way, that's not God's best for our life. God wants to take you somewhere. God wants to get you on a track of life, a track of wholeness, a track of forgiveness, a track of healing. There's a journey you and I can be on with God moving forward. A lot of times that happens with other people. That's why I think it's so important with this series that we move into groups. Take intentional steps. See, a track is an intentional step. A track is an intentional place. And I don't believe we're just wandering through a maze of life. Say, well, if it's not a treadmill, then obviously it's a maze. And I'm just going down one way and hitting my head against the wall. And I think I'm going in a good direction, but I'm finding out that that's bringing me nowhere to. It's not a maze and it's not a treadmill. I believe it's a track that God wants to lay out for your life. And you begin to discover it in spiritual family and with others who have walked the track with God. It's just so important. Get off the treadmill and get on the track. Being a part of a group. Being in a setting where you can learn and you can grow. Where there's others that have been through some things. And it comes against our pride and our ego to connect with other people and to learn. That's the first challenge. Get off the treadmill. Get on the track. Here's the second challenge. I want to talk about this for a few minutes. Is I challenge you to experience life and new life, not just aimlessly peddling the life cycle. Just, okay, it's just another thing. You know, it's like going to a tennis match. There's a lot happening on the court. But basically, anybody in the stand is doing this. Oh, woo! Quiet. It's just a constant thing. They would kick me out of a tennis match. Because you have to be energetic for like 3 seconds. All right, all right. It's just the way it works. And this is what you do most of the time. Do you know sometimes in life, you can feel like that's what you're doing. You're just watching other people get stuff, do stuff, achieve stuff, go places you don't get to go, hang out with people you don't get to hang out with, do things that you'll never get to do. And that's so wild because we start living our life through celebrities. We start living our life through others, and it's just, we're just kind of, or either you feel like your life is just watching a chess match. Wow. I'll be back in like 8 hours. That's just kind of, and it's just this cycle of back and forth, small little things. Just round and round and round and round we go. That's not what Jesus intended. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Everybody say full. Full life. Abundant life. I've come that they might have abundant life, not just round and round, the echo of the monotony over and over, never going anywhere, never achieving anything beyond just the temporary and the outer things that are there. It's in a true relational experience with Christ that we find out who we are. And it all starts in Jesus Christ. You don't run after happiness. We run after Christ. I love what Timmy says, that we are God chasers. We experience him. Can I tell you that if you want to experience God, you experience him starting in this book right here. The race begins at Jesus. And if we're going to have that experience with God, it begins in the pages of this book. You know, it's interesting to me. I have people tell me all the time, the Bible does not say anything to me. It doesn't say anything to you if you don't read it. I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, it will not speak to it's never jumped off the cabinet, just followed me down the hallway. Wait! Wait! Gotta tell you something. Come here! Never once in my life has it ever just fallen open and a scripture levitate 3D in my car. Dino, the force is with you. I'm your father. And the scripture levitates. And here, you know, I have to experience it. There's a track. I have to take a step towards it. Because if you have no word in your life, there will be no power in your life. But if you know the word, then you will know power. So much of where the better life begins is found on the pages of these book, this book right here. It's right here. It'll speak to you. It'll talk to you. It'll speak to the things that are happening in your life. You're 16 years old. You're a junior in high school. Life is about like Facebook, an icy, some crazy boy that's just an idiot that's constantly texting you. That's your life. You got a car. I mean, it's just, there's pressure at school. Your sister gets on your nerves like crazy. That's your life. Can I tell you, that Bible has something to say to you. It has something to say to you. I was 17 years old, surfing, just graduated out of high school, living on a beach about every day, working, surfing. And it's amazing how this scripture talked to my life when I gave it an opportunity. But if you don't give it an opportunity, it's not going to talk to you. And how many have realized that you're just not that smart? All the rest of you are in denial. Here's the third thing. I want to give you this last challenge, this personal challenge. I challenge you. This is going to help a lot of you. This is going to set some of you free. No more Stairmaster. Oh, thank you, Dean. I hate the Stairmaster. No more Stairmaster. I want you to climb the stairway to heaven. Those of you in the 70s are like, finally, he mentioned a song that I was connected to. Finally, I'm tired of the 80s. Don't hold up the lighters right now. This is not the environment. Stairway of heaven, I'll have you escorted out. I don't know. When I see a Stairmaster, I can walk up to it and place my hand on it and calories burn off of my body. My legs hurt. I get nauseated. It's a full workout just touching a Stairmaster. A Stairmaster is something else, boy. I think many people are on a Stairmaster in life. I think there's been times in my life I had a Stairmaster. Let me break that down for you for a few seconds. It's where you begin to climb and you don't know why you're climbing and who you're climbing for. You just feel like everybody else is climbing. Everybody else is doing that. Everybody else is trying to get that. Everybody else is trying to be that. Everybody else is saying they got that. Everybody else is referring that they're that kind of person. We feel pressure to climb that stair, climb that stair, climb that stair. And at times, we don't even know who we're climbing for. Why are we living this way? Why are we spending this money? Why am I having this conversation? Why am I talking this way? Why am I allowing myself to be given into a situation like this? Why am I putting myself in this situation? Who am I doing it for? I don't even remember who I'm doing this for. And we start climbing the stair of some master that really they don't even matter. They're not going to be there when something bad happens in your life. They're not going to stay committed if something rough goes down. And so often we find ourselves on the Stairmaster. And you know what the Stairmaster does? It injects us with approval addiction. And we just want everybody's approval. We get addicted to everybody's approval. Approve me, like me, think I'm popular, think I'm cool, think I'm it, think I've got it going on, think I make more than I make, think I hang out with people more important than I hang out with. Just think more of me. Fill my cup, fill my cup. We have this approval addiction. Can I encourage you? Say no to the Stairmaster and get on the stairway to heaven. Said, you know, what does Led Zeppelin have to do with this at all? I'm just trying to figure that out. Led Zeppelin doesn't have anything to do with it. But can I tell you what has everything to do with it? It's time to live a legacy for God Almighty. And to start taking steps towards God. Just get on the track with God. Get on God's track. Take some step towards His Word. Make a step towards a small group where you get accountable. I think one of the best things I ever did was when I got involved with church and I had to tell all of my heathen friends, where were you today? Church. Church's fried chicken? What did you say? Church. You were in church? One of them looked at me and said, it won't last 2 weeks. It's been a long 2 weeks. Leave a legacy for God. Don't pursue vain, crazy things. It'll lead you to a vain, crazy place. Cut out things that don't honor God, that hinder you. Cut out that habit, that relationship, that thing that's wearing you out. If you're going to climb anything, climb up into this word. Climb up into the lap of God. Let Him love you. I was an empty teenager. I remember getting to those latter years of my teenage life. I was empty. I had an empty soul. And here's what I didn't know. The more I tried to shove things in my soul, the more I tried to solve the emptiness and quiet the empty, the more it called out to meaning. I thought about this late last night. My emptiness drew me to the one who could fill me up. You know what I thought? I thought my emptiness was my enemy. And here I am getting older and things not being the way I thought they were going to be with certain people that I thought they were going to be. And I remember there was I had an emptiness in my life. And what I kept doing was hating the emptiness. So when you don't like the empty, you fill something up in it. You try to fill up the empty. You don't like being empty. Why am I empty? I don't want to be empty. So you fill it up with things. Knowing that those things you fill it up with, guess what? They can't fill it up because the emptiness that is in your life was created by God Almighty. Your emptiness that you thought was an enemy is the best thing you could ever have. The emptiness of life draws you to God Almighty. It says, gosh, well, I tried this, it didn't work. I was with that person, it didn't work. I thought I could do this great fantasy. Woo, this is incredible. Woo, amazing. I'm still empty. Why are you there? Why are you there? And the emptiness is designed to draw you to the only thing that can fill up your life. And you don't like the emptiness, but God loves the emptiness because somehow or another, somewhere, it will trigger you to say yes to Jesus. That's what's supposed to happen. Happened in my life, thank God. Because the alternative is it throws you into an addictive spin. Because the only thing that can really just satisfy the emptiness for a moment longer is an addiction. Because the Bible says that sin is good, woohoo, for a season. Yeah. It's okay for a season. But then it has this vicious downward spiral. Boy, you land hard. So you put an addiction and another addiction and another addiction. That's when you wake up one day and you look in the mirror and you wonder, who have I become? Who have I become? Here's the amazing thing, is while you have breath, Jesus Christ would love to be your Lord and Savior. He's the only thing that can fill the emptiness of your soul.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.